Welcome to Intentional Living Center today. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. You know, if you're a parent, you want to be friends with your kids, obviously. You want to have a good relationship, and as they get older, especially growing into friendship, but that's not your primary calling. That's not your primary job description. First and foremost, you're to be a parent, and sometimes there can be a clash between those two. Have you wrestled with that, drawing the line between being a friend and being a parent? Maybe you have a spouse or that gets to be just too much friends instead of being a parent. Where has that gotten you into trouble? Or what do you think? Where's the line? What's your challenge when it comes to friendship and being a parent?
My phone line is open to you at 888-888-1717. Open for your questions and comments today. Again, you give us a call. Love to hear from you. Just call 888-888-1717.
Your kids may be crying for a parent more than a friend. They have friends, you know, they're going to meet friends in their life and have a lot of friends in church and school and neighborhood. And friendship is something more on the equal, you know, on the equal basis where they're sharing interest and growing together. And as your kids get older, now like I look at our kids and our children are now grown, have children of their own, our grandchildren, and we're good friends. And friendship is a part of that process that you want to develop into, for sure, no question about it. But as a parent, when you have your kids at home and you're raising them and you're trying to train them, if the goal is to be liked, you're going to fail miserably. If your goal as a parent is to have your kids like you, you've already lost the battle, because there's going to be days that they know they can really push that button. I hate you. Oh, for a parent who has to be liked, you know, that's a terrible expression and can overreact and cave in. Kids who start to realize maybe unconsciously that the goal of my parent is to be liked by me have a great deal of power over you as a parent. Your job is to be a parent, and sometimes it's not going to be the best, you know, you're not going to be their best friend in the process. But you still have a responsibility. The scripture says to train up a child in the way he should go. As parents, we're commanded to do that. And so I would just ask the question, maybe for discussion during this time, maybe you run into this in your own life. Maybe you were raised by a parent that was more trying to be more of a friend than being a parent. And how did that impact you? Or maybe how is it impacting you today in relationship with your family? 888-888-1717 is my number. 888-888-1717.
My husband and I intentionally with our children do equal amount of reading time for equal amount of TV time. They hate it. We love it.
My mom used to tell us in the summertime if we were bored, she would be happy to find us a job around the house that we could do so that we wouldn't be bored anymore. So we just learned not to say that we were bored, because we would have to work if we were bored. So I thought that was a very clever way of keeping us from complaining.
We started praying with them in the evenings, and we have just noticed a wonderful change in our children. It has changed our family, our parenting, everything has changed, and we're so blessed, and thank you so much for your show, and keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, we're glad to do it. Here at the Intentional Living Center, every day we focus on a particular area of life that we know matters to you, and of course, we put it all on the foundation of being intentional in our faith walk, because ultimately, God's intention for you is good. God's intention for you as a parent is good. His intention for you to be a successful parent is good. The question is, what are our intentions in terms of following through and doing what God plans for us? We ask the question, when have you had to remember that you're not your child's best friend, you're their parent? Jennifer says on Facebook, many times. Diane agrees, says oftentimes. Christine says, too often than I care to admit. Connie says, today, while trying to be patient with my almost two-year-old, powerfully strong-willed toddler. Jamie makes an interesting statement on Facebook. Jamie says, never. I never have to remind myself of that. The best interest and well-being will always be number one. I am here to teach them, guide them, listen to them, and instruct them. And, you know, that's a definition of a parent. That's not a definition of a best friend. A best friend is not here to teach you, guide you, and instruct you. That's not the role of a friend. That's certainly a role of a parent. To be a disciplinarian, remember, that comes from the root of disciple, meaning to train, to teach, to nurture, not just to discipline. I mean, not to punish, rather, but to discipline means, as a parent, we have an opportunity and a responsibility to train and teach. I think of my parents who are now gone, they're in heaven, but their role when I was younger was to train and teach. I didn't need them to be my best friends. I needed to know I was safe and secure with them. I needed to know that they were, you know, that there was a sense of boundaries, that things were going to be okay. Kids are crying for that. Think of it. You don't like to play a game and not know where the boundaries are. I remember as a kid, we'd go play football down the street. We had a big lot. And all the guys would get together and play football. The first thing we'd do was put, you know, the rock over there in that corner, and it's that tree over there in that corner, and it's Fred's house, you know, the driveway over on that side, because you got to know where the boundaries are. And one of the jobs we have as a parent is setting boundaries for our kids. And when we're friends, what often happens is we don't set the kind of boundaries that our kids need to know that there's a loving kind of framework in which they can be raised. And that's why being an intentional parent is so critical in terms of setting those kind of boundaries. Maybe you don't agree. Maybe you've said, hey, I am my kid's best friend, and that's the way it works. 888-888-1717.
Hi, my name is Rochelle. I have been a stay-at-home mom for over 8 years now, and I have just recently realized that during all these years, I have been dealing with my children and not building loving relationships with them. By the grace of God, I am going to begin to rebuild those relationships with my children.
I just wanted to make a comment about how to be intentional about spending time with your young children. I'm a very busy mom. I work at business in my home. I'm a worship leader at my church, and I incorporate my kids in everything that I do.
In our home, we started with the biblical principle of if you don't work, you don't eat. Our oldest son, he has a chart with his chores that he has to do every day, and if we get to supper time and he chose not to, then he doesn't get to eat supper. He goes to bed, and pretty soon his stomach wins the battle, and he gives in and gets his work done.
Wow. Wow. Some homes, the kids would be 16 and weigh 50 pounds. Hey, listen, you know, today we're focusing on relationship with your kids. You heard some spots there talking about relationship with their children. And that first one, you could hear that first caller with tears talking about, I've got to rebuild my relationship. I think there's two extremes that we can get into with this parenting thing. We can be trying to be BFFs with our kids, and it's all about having them like us and being friends with them, and we give way then to not being an authority in the home. The other extreme is to be so authoritarian that it's my way or the highway. I am the boss, that we don't have a relationship. And I think the key here as a parent is knowing that there's a relationship that we want to have with our children, but it's based first and foremost on what God has given us as a responsibility and an opportunity to be a parent. Okay? All right, let me go to our first caller. Is it Ricardo or Ricarda? Ricarda.
It's Ricarda.
There you go. Welcome to the program. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. How do you weigh in on this friendship thing as a parent?
I'm a step-parent, and my stepdaughter has a BFF, a best friend relationship with her biological mother, but she is living with us full-time now, and we really struggle with, with her having any respect for me as a mother figure in our home, and so we're just really kind of struggling with that in our relationship, in our marriage. You know, we try to follow the guidelines of letting my husband, the biological parent, being the disciplinarian. But I'm not sure if that's really working out either.
Well, so what I hear you saying is you've become the bad guy.
Yes.
And I can hear it. That's hurting you, too. I can hear that.
Absolutely. Because I do want to have a good relationship with her, but right now, I mean, it just really seems almost impossible.
Mm-hmm. And so you see biological mom or mom being too permissive or giving in just to be liked?
Yeah, absolutely.
And your husband sees that too? Yeah.
Yeah, my husband sees that, absolutely.
Well, obviously when we get into this blended family scenario, the dynamics change a lot. Because now the child who didn't ask to be in a blended family, didn't ask for the parents to split up, is now trying to negotiate all those relationships. And many times children, just by virtue of their age and their experience and their expectations, they find that very difficult. And so they can lash out, or they can play games to put the adults into a difficult position. You're not going to change mom. Mom is mom, and her relationship with her daughter is going to be the way it is, and you can't change it. I think for you, you're doing the right thing, having dad be the primary disciplinarian. He's the one that's following through. He's the one that's setting the tone in the home. And your job is to have a good relationship with your daughter. But the key is your husband needs to stand up and make sure that the patterns of behavior that are appropriate in the family and in the home are going to be followed through. Because it's really tough in a blended family for the stepmom or stepdad to become the disciplinarian. And we really discourage that as much as possible and let the primary parent step up and take that responsibility. Is that?
Yeah, that's what we're followed. Listen to the program, and we've really gotten on the website and looked at a lot of the resources that you guys are offering. And we just really appreciate having that to go to and where we are right now.
Well, I appreciate your call, Ricarda, because you remind me that in a blended family, you're going to have to lean more toward friendship and having a friendship and being a friendly person with that stepdaughter. But there's still boundaries that have to be put in place. You know, and I, what I'm telling you, you know internally, but living it out's tough. Your job is not to be, you know, the best liked mother, because you're not going to win that battle, obviously. Your job is to support your husband, to be a consistent stepmom in the family, setting in a tone in the family that's loving and supportive, and allowing your husband to stand up and be a strong figure of setting the tone. We've said that over the years, and we stand with it. If you're trying to blend a family, make sure that the primary parent is the one that's setting the tone, okay? All right, you can come join us. We're talking about friendship and your kids. Maybe it is that you find that to be difficult. What do you wrestle with? 888-888-1717. Okay, let's go to Susie. Do you want me to go to Susie? All right, Susie's on the line in Michigan. Hi, Susie.
Hello. Hi.
How are you today?
I'm okay, and how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Appreciate your call. What's your take on this?
I agree with what you're saying about being friends with your kids, but also, too, that also branches off into when the kids are grown, you know, like even in their 20s and 30s. And I have a daughter who's great. She's got 5 kids, 10 and under. And she's just very diligent about staying in touch with me because we don't live in the same state. And I have a son who lives even farther away, and he and I used to be really close. Mm. And then I had made a comment one time, and since that time, our relationship has been really rather strained. But he's in missions. And he speaks all over the place, and it just seems like to me there should be, I guess, more forgiveness there, acceptance there.
Have you asked for forgiveness?
Pardon?
Have you asked for forgiveness?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this has been going on for like, oh, man, 9-10 years.
Do you remember a time when you went to your son and said, you know, when I said that, I was wrong, and here's how I was wrong. Will you forgive me?
I can't recall, Randy, specifically.
Okay, then you
Maybe
probably
I should
didn't.
Do that again.
But you probably didn't, Susie, because that's a pretty important moment in time when we take full responsibility. We can't be responsible for your son not responding to that, but you can be responsible for taking that initiative. One of the greatest gifts we can give, we talk about friendship with adult sons and daughters. If we've done something stupid and we're aware of it, we should take full responsibility, just like they should. And if you've made a mistake, you've said something that was wrong or did something that was off base, one of the best gifts we can give to our adult sons and daughters is simply go and say, honey, I love you so much. When I said this or what I said, I was wrong. I take full responsibility for it. Will you forgive me? We're putting the ball into their court then, but we're being very clear and not to dance around it, but to be very clear. And let me say this, we need to do that sometimes with an eight-year-old. You go to the eight-year-old that you messed up with as a parent, said something stupid, did something stupid, and you go and say, I love you, and I was wrong as a parent to do that. Will you forgive me? I think that's a powerful thing that we do with our kids and even with our grandkids and with anyone when we take that kind of full responsibility. Do you procrastinate about a lot of things? Many people do. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. Found an interesting little verse in Proverbs 4 that says, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. You know, that's really an intentional living verse. Can I challenge you if you have a lot of dreams, a lot of ideas, but really a lack of follow through, to have fewer dreams and more daily action? That's really goal setting, isn't it? I wrote a book called The Power of One Thing, and in that book I outline that every day doing the next right one thing. And even at the end of each day, to be able to look back and say, I accomplished this one thing that moved me closer to my bigger dream. That's a powerful way to overcome procrastination. Get started doing one thing today, no matter how small it is. And when you do, that's intentional living.
For more information and inspiration, go to theintentionallife.com.
You can rebuild a car engine in one weekend. Make a dinner for 12 in one afternoon. But you have no idea how to prepare the children in your family to be adults one day. You need Raising Responsible Adults by Dr. Randy Carlson. This number one selling book and study guide will help you avoid the mistakes and equip you with the proven tools of parenting. Order Raising Responsible Adults by Dr. Randy Carlson today at theintentionallife.com.
It's time to take charge. No more surprises, no more confusion, no more negativity or isolation. It's time to take charge of your Facebook experience with intentional living.
And intentional is the key word here. On Intentional Living's Facebook page, you can connect with Dr. Randy and other listeners. Post your stories, comments, and questions. Keep up with the daily shows, topics, and guests. You know, stuff you can do intentionally so you can grow and know you're not alone. Click like at facebook.com/intentionalliving.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. If you're having problems raising your kids, go to our bookstore at theintentionallife.com and get a copy of Dr. Randy's Raising Responsible Adults, along with the workbook. It's our best-selling book at the Intentional Living Center. You'll find it to be a great help in doing precisely that, raising responsible adults. Again, that's at theintentionallife.com. Randy.
All right, thank you, Kurt. And there are very helpful resources, including Raising Responsible Adults for you there, and our Parenting Challenge small group video series for Sunday school classes, for individual home setting as a parent in small group settings as well. That's available all through the ministry by going to theintentionallife.com. Back to calls, talking about friendship with your kids. Where's the line between parenting and friendship? Amy's on the line from Arizona with a question. Hi there.
Hi there. Yes, so I'm a new stepmom to a nine-year-old, mm-hmm. and sometimes recently I've been really struggling with what my role is and boundaries. I was raised with a mother who was very permissive, and I didn't have any boundaries, and I was a wild child, and so I feared that from kids and I didn't have kids, and now I'm married and I have a kid, and I'm trying to figure out like what my role is. And
Well, what's your relationship like with your stepdaughter?
Pretty good. She's a sweetheart. She's very, she's a good girl. And, however, sometimes she gives me these looks,
We know exactly what the looks are. We've all had it as a parent. Yeah, we hear it. And now, Amy, is your husband taking a lead? Have the two of you gotten on the same page and talked about, you know, how you want your home to be run?
Yes. I think that he has said that he just wants me to be me and to be the friend. And when I do be the friend, I feel sometimes that I don't get the respect. And so I started looking up of like how to gain more respect. And so to not be so lenient and not to spoil as much. And
A couple things. Well, go ahead. You said you realized what?
Well, I've been realizing that looking at the different parent styles, like he's more like the authoritarian,
right?
And I was raised with a permissive, and I don't believe in that. So I think more of giving reasons, like he will, kind of dictate of what the rules are. But then I will follow it up by explaining why those rules are intact and, you know, why we have those, so that she understands and is more soft, you know, on that.
Well, Amy, my guess is you're probably doing a better job than you think. Most parents are. We're hard on ourselves, and you're getting started with a new job here, being a stepmom, first time around with kids. I'm going to give you a couple principles that are really critical. One is you and your husband need to be on the same page. Number two, you have to be consistent. One day you can't be the best friend. The next day you got to follow through and be the disciplinarian. I think as a step-parent, you got a unique challenge and opportunity, but your husband has to be the one to come along and support. If there's disrespect, your husband's the one that has to step up and say, honey, I love you, but you cannot treat, you know, my wife, your stepmom, that way in this home. And he needs to be taking a stronger lead. Now, if you say he's real authoritarian, he needs to get on the same page with you. I think being an authoritarian parent long-term is going to bite you. We want to be an authority in the home, but not an authoritarian, and there's a difference. And when we get to the place where we're an authority in the home, meaning that we have reasonable rules, we follow through, we're a disciplinarian in terms of discipleship, training, teaching, instructing our children, holding them accountable, setting limits, and doing that together. That's a beautiful thing. Tell you what, you hang on. I want to send your Raising Responsible Adults. Sally, would you get her address, and we'll send her the book and the study guide from our bookstore, okay? And we'll do that right off. So hang on, Amy. We'll get that information from you, and we'll send it to you today. We'd love to hear your stories on our storyline at 888-888-1717.
I called a couple weeks ago. I had a concern, like, whenever I'm around people, my mind would always say, well, nobody's going to talk to you or nobody's going to sit by you, and this just haunts me. And so I just want to thank you for how you've been focusing on the mind and, like, changing my mind and my thinking. I'm really trying really, really hard to think different, just rebuke these negative thoughts. I just really do appreciate your ministry, and so I'd like to become a support your ministry. Again, I really appreciate you focusing on the mind. Okay, thank you. God bless you. Goodbye.
Well, you're very welcome, and thank you for supporting the ministry. You know, the mind is spoken of often in Scripture, and what is the mind? You know, the mind is that part of us that really dictates and drives. We refer to it as our soul. As Christians, we know there's a soul. There's a part of us, our personality, that's, we're not just an animal. But God's made us very unique, and it was interesting. I heard an Ivy League neuroscientist this week make a statement. He said, your intentions, use that word, your intentions, in other words, your life and your intentions, will drive the biochemistry of your brain and change your life. Thought that's pretty powerful. And I'm revisiting some scripture that I taught, and some of you will remember it, back in August of 2013. Where we take the book of Ephesians and we split it into two halves. The first three chapters of Ephesians really is what we call the orthodoxy of our faith. It's about God's intentional love. The first three chapters of Ephesians is really about our position in Christ. And then in chapter 4, going for the last three chapters, Paul completely turns in a different direction. He says, therefore, as a result of everything I just said in chapters 1, 2, and 3, therefore, here's how I want you to live your life. And chapters 4 through 6 are really chapters that we use a lot in intentional living because it teaches us how to live our intentional life in Christ. That's an excerpt from this month's teaching. And I'm very excited about it because it's a purely biblical teaching. We're looking at the book of Ephesians, and I'm laying out the reason why for intentional living. When people ask me, what's the biblical basis for intentional living? Where does this come from? What difference can it make? You know, the book of Ephesians and other places throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, but the book of Ephesians really outlines, I think, a picture of what intentional living is all about. So members, watch for it. It's coming to you this month automatically. Thank you for your ongoing monthly support. It means a great deal to us to allow the intentional living message to continue. And I want to just remind you, if you are not supporting the ministry, maybe you've never supported it, but that sounds like a teaching you'd like to hear. We'd like to make it available to you. It's our gift to you as you share your best gift this month of August and only this month. And so you need to ask for it. And also, we got a super special kind of supersized opportunity here in August. Every August, we just release our brand new calendar, a 16-month calendar that will begin September 1st of 2019 and go through December 31st of 2020. And it's called Hope That Lights the Way. It's a 16-month wall calendar that you'll enjoy just like we do in our home, and it's our gift as well. When you ask for it, we thank you in advance for your support. It's meaningful, it's important, it's valued, and we thank you for it. So information on supporting the ministry, you can either call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. And when you do, press number 4 to prompt our staff, or you can go right now to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. When you're at our website, by the way, you might want to take a look at our upcoming events. We have a very special couple cruise coming up to Alaska next summer, starting on June 28th. I get a chance to lead a date night in Phoenix and Tucson coming up in November, and that information should be there online for you as well. That's a lot of information, and I just want to say in advance, your financial support is valued and needed, and I thank you for it. Go to theintentionallife.com, and we'll see you next time from Intentional Living.